thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Springs of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, sing my flaming tones above. Raise the mountain fixed upon,
Today we have a treat. When missionaries come, I think it's always a treat. It's like the Apostle Paul coming in the times of the Bible, and he would come and he would speak to fellowships, churches that were gathered together. And that's what we have every time a missionary comes. Today Micah Ward and his wife Melissa are here with us, and Micah's and they and his wife and family are going to Indonesia, and Micah's the son of Tom Ward, who has been one of our missionaries for years, decades. We've supported Tom as a missionary, and he's been a personal friend of mine and my mentor, and so it's great to have Micah here with us today. Micah, the Lord bless you as you preach to us today. Amen.
Good morning. I think Melissa's going to come up, and we're going to share just a little about our ministry first before we jump into the Word. This is Melissa and our daughter, Joanna. Some of you, yes, she deserves a clap, yes or no. Some of you may remember us. We visited in January when my father spoke, and so it's a privilege now to come and preach as well. I find it a joy and an honor to study God's Word with believers, and so thank you for giving us this opportunity. A couple things to share with you before we jump into Scripture. We shared about a friend of ours in Denver who had begun coming to church, and we just wanted to share that she is continuing to grow in her walk with the Lord. She has taken some very clear steps in her first faith journey, and so that is a real encouragement. Another thing that we wanted to share, we have now moved from Denver to Minneapolis, so we said goodbye to the church that I pastored at in Denver 2 Sundays ago, and so we said goodbye to family in many ways in that. And so pray for us as we now transition to Minneapolis before heading to Indonesia in November, but also pray for that church. We had seen growth in the youth group, specifically over the Easter season. Several youth had joined the church. They were looking for a church that was actually gathering, and so that's a real blessing, yeah. So a couple names I'm going to give you. Pray for Rachel. She is a girl that has joined the youth group, and pray for Latavia, because now they are without youth pastor, associate pastor, and so we're praying that in this time the youth group will grow and continue to study Scripture faithfully. I think that's all we're going to share in terms of family, but this morning we are going to look at the book of 2 Timothy. So if you want to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And the reason I'm looking at this passage is because you guys know my parents. Many of you know my parents better than I do. Some of you have known them before I knew them. I think it was back in the Stone Age when you knew them, but that's just my recollection of the matter. But you guys had the joy of having my parents, or the, you know, tediousness of having my parents here working at Pequot Lakes many years ago. And you guys have been a blessing to them. You have supported them faithfully in prayer and encouragement over decades of ministry. And as a missionary kid who has been blessed by that, I want to say thank you. As someone who has been benefited from that relationship, thank you. And thank you for desiring to continue that relationship. Thank you for desiring to continue to walk alongside the gospel being declared around the world. That is a joy. And it is a privilege to declare Scripture, truth about Christ in Indonesia. But you guys, well, you know my parents, don't really know Melissa and I and Joanna. Outside of our faces, outside of our names, you don't really know us that well. So I wanted to take this morning as an opportunity to study a passage which we feel declares the church, demands of the church, declaring the gospel everywhere, whether it's here in Pequot Lakes or it's in Indonesia. So we're going to look at this passage, 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 14. And I'm going to highlight some things that are going to make our ministry in Indonesia. We are going to use these as points for our ministry, kind of as a lamp to guide our way to some extent. Now, in Colorado, the thing you do is climb mountains. And so that's what I did while there. And about a week before we left, I got to climb two 14ers, which is just two high mountains. And I got to do them both in one day, which is really impressive. All of you are supposed to go, ooh, no, I'm kidding. Now, it's really, really impressive for me because I hate heights. I'm terrified of heights. So I went with a friend from Denver Seminary. He's climbed like 30 mountains. So I tried. He would take one step. I'm sorry, my head's all over the place. He would take one step, and I would follow that step. Anything he did, I would have to do the exact same thing. Because if I didn't, I was going to die. I was confident. I was going to die. Now, there's a very nice established trail. Colorado has done a great job on their mountains. But I was confident that you would find me at the bottom of the mountain dead if I didn't do exactly what he did. In similar fashion, the books of Timothy are Paul telling Timothy, do this. Obey this, because this will make your ministry founded on Christ. Not founded on what you think is a cool, bright, shiny new idea, founded on Christ. And so, that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at how the gospel is founded on Christ and what that means in our lives. So let's read the passage this morning. See if this, oh, it works. Cool. This is a shiny new toy. All right, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our own works, but because of his own purposes and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to open Scripture, to learn more about the God we serve, to dive deeper into the relationship with which we have in our Heavenly Father. I thank you, Lord, that we can gather together as believers, singing praises to you, giving you all glory. Leaving here, Lord, I pray, encouraged, edified, and challenged in our own walk. Lord, I pray that you will prepare our hearts this morning. May we be ready to hear your word. Lord, help me to step out of the way so that you can become more in focus, and help us all to leave here ready to share the gospel with those whom we interact with. Lord, we pray all of these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So in verse 8, Paul begins his appeal to Timothy by saying, "Do not be ashamed." We read this word shame, and often in our mindset, we're like, I don't have shame about a lot of things. This is not something that we deal with very much. As Americans, we have a great amount of pride, as we should, in the freedom that we have. We have a great amount of pride in the work that we put in. And so we don't often feel shame. And yet, how often do we miss opportunities to declare Christ to another because we think it might be awkward? See, Paul here is saying, don't be ashamed, not because of your funny-looking nose. Don't be ashamed about the work you do, but don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Paul, right at the get-go, says, here is the most important thing, the testimony about our Lord. How many of us, you heard a Ward was preaching this morning, texted your friends and said, hey, I'm going to be late for lunch, because he talks a lot. Not, hey, I'm going to be late for lunch because I'm sitting and worshiping with my fellow believers. How many of us, when we buy a new truck, talk for hours about this truck that we've bought, but miss the opportunity to talk for hours about the devotion we've had in Scripture that week? We go on vacation. I will show you all of the pictures about my vacation. But talking about Jesus? I'm not so certain about that. Paul begins this whole thing with a reminder. This is the primary thing. Do not be ashamed of the testimony. Nor of me, prisoner. But share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Now here's the really cool part of this text. Paul doesn't say, don't be ashamed about the testimony about the Lord for no good reason. No, by the power of God. Our status as believers, situated not in who we are, not in how special we are, but in the power of God. That's a really cool place to find our status. It's probably the best place to find our status. Because if we don't, then we're putting on a pedestal something other than God. And you have a beautiful tapestry out there that gives the Ten Commandments. And the first one has something to say about putting on a pedestal something other than God. Do not be ashamed. Paul here is saying, hey, Timothy, you have the opportunity, the privilege to proclaim Christ. Don't mess around with that opportunity. Don't lose sight of that opportunity because you have some special project in mind. In my own life, Melissa and I plan on going to Indonesia in November. So we've made it a goal not to share Christ with anyone until November. No! That would be stupid. Apologies. That would be ridiculous. If I said, that's when I'm going to proclaim Christ. Right now I'm going to do something else. I'm going to do something different right now. That is not what Paul is saying. In everything, you've been given the opportunity to proclaim Christ. And Pequot Lakes, you guys do a really good job of this. Hear me well in saying this. This sermon should make your heart sing. Just last week, you guys gave out over 1,000 Bibles. That is really cool. This idea of having tables around the outside, I have shared that idea with other churches and said, get your act together, because this works. This is great. You guys are proclaiming Christ. But just because you do it today doesn't mean you're going to do it tomorrow. This is an opportunity of a lot of missed chances in all of our lives. Don't miss the opportunity. When I was in high school, I loved it because the first week of high school, I would often find other believers. It was great. And then summer would come around, and I would feel like all of that would just dissipate. And then college came. My first semester in college, I took a class. I have no clue what the class was about, but I hated it. It was the worst class in the world, and the professor was the worst. University of Minnesota, whoever that professor was, he was the worst. I sat next to a guy. His name was Matthew. Matthew Poland. Matthew and I, the entire semester, harped on about how we hated the class. Harped on about, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we just didn't have to take this class, this lib ed class that they force us to take? Wouldn't it be great if we just could miss it? 2 semesters later, 1 year later, I discovered that Matthew and I went to the same church. That Matthew was, in fact, a believer. And he discovered the same thing about me. I had sat next to the guy for an entire semester, and never once had the topic of Jesus come up. Never once had the topic of my faith come up. That was a missed opportunity. I had failed. And yet, here I stand today, excited to proclaim Christ. Just because we've failed in the past doesn't mean we stop trying today. Paul says to Timothy, do not be ashamed. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Church, we have an opportunity to proclaim Christ. May we use it well. Paul goes on in verse 9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. I love the beginning of this verse because it immediately makes me think of 1 Peter 2:9. It always makes me think of 1 Peter 2:9, which says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That connection of he's called us to a holy calling. We are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. This passage always gets me excited about the corporate body of believers, the church. See, in Indonesia, where we're headed, there is no church. The people that we're going to, we will not be able to go and join an established church. And that terrifies me. Because most of the New Testament is written for body of believers. So I look forward to the day in Indonesia where I get to worship God together with a bunch of believers who to this day have not yet heard Christ. But in our proclamation of Christ, we can't miss the fact that we do it as a body. We do it together. We do it corporately. Worship isn't the just singing part of a church service. Worship isn't just the preaching part of a worship service. Worship is our actions to proclaim Christ corporately. And that is a blessing. Barry Jones, a theologian, he's Texan, he says we need to rewrite the New Testament. Because when we read this passage, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness, he says, we read that as, yea, special little old me. God called me that I may proclaim. He says, we need a Texan version of the Bible, that y'all may proclaim the excellencies of him who called y'all out of darkness into his marvelous light. Because that's what that passage says. This is the corporate proclamation of Christ. And that is a great encouragement to me. See, the gospel doesn't say, in your isolated little bubble, proclaim Christ. Rather, no, as a church, proclaim Christ. It gives us the opportunity to proclaim Christ corporately. Look back at verse 8. Don't be ashamed of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, nor of me. Paul says, work together. Work with me, alongside me. I love that Pastor Mike gives missionaries an opportunity to come preach. That's huge. He desires to work alongside them. His relationship with my father is one that I envy because they have worked so well alongside each other. That is a good thing. We get to proclaim Christ corporately. And so when we go, you know what? I just don't feel like getting up. 9:30 is an early service start. Maybe push it to 10, you guys. Think about it. But I don't feel like getting up at 9:30. So we sleep in. We miss an opportunity to proclaim Christ together. And that is a bad thing. Do not be ashamed of Christ nor of other believers. And the other part of this verse that I find so striking is that, well, your whole church body may not come with you to work. When you proclaim Christ at your work, you are doing so corporately. You are doing so with the Holy Spirit indwelling you to do so. And if you don't feel comfortable to do so alone, call Pastor Mike. Say, hey, I have a work lunch. Would you be willing to come along? He's going to say yes. I guarantee, unless he's golfing, he's going to say yes. Because he would love to share Christ with your coworkers. We get to do this together. When Melissa and I are in Indonesia, there is not a day that will go by that we do not praise the Lord for our co-workers in Christ that live here in Pequot Lakes and across the states. It is a blessing to be able to declare Christ, knowing full well that there are ministers of reconciliation here doing exactly the same thing. Jesus, in Luke, has a great example of this. He sent out the 12, and now he's going to send out the 72 disciples. Luke 10:1. The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him. One by one, all alone, with no one else next. No, wait, sorry, stop reading. Two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. If you're going to follow anybody's example, follow Jesus's. It's just a good rule of life. And the way Jesus did it was he sent two by two to every town to declare him, to declare his coming. But you know what it says in verse 3 of this same chapter? Something not quite so encouraging. Jesus is now talking to these 72. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Not even sheep. He doesn't give them even goats. You know, you've got some horns on your head. No, lambs in the midst of wolves. In this sermon, I hope that you are encouraged. I hope that you are blessed by the fact that we do have this opportunity to proclaim. But realize full well that this opportunity is not always easy. This opportunity is not always people going, "Oh, wow, I've never heard of Jesus. I really want to hear more about him. I'll come to church next Sunday." A lot of times they say that many words, but most of them you don't want to hear. Often, when we witness, when we proclaim Christ, the response is negative. And that's okay. Jesus doesn't say, the first time you hear a negative response, just give it up. Just stop. Just don't proclaim me anymore because you're just probably bad at it. No. He says, continue faithfully declaring my name among everyone. We had in England, growing up, there was a short-termer called Nina, and she took care of Serenity and I. She loved the family well. And her mom was not a believer. She was a pretty harsh woman. And then she came to know Christ, and she was on fire for the Lord. She went on a cruise. She sat next to someone, and she just bursting over with the joy of being able to share Christ. She goes, "Can I tell you about Jesus?" And this woman who she's talking to turns to her and she says, "Just go to and you can fill in the gap." That was the response. And the mother, who had just become a Christian, said, "Well, that's where you're going," and got up and left. I would advise you not to use that methodology of evangelism. It's not a good methodology. But be aware that when you go out, there will be people who reject you, and yet you are still called to proclaim Christ. And when you come in on Sunday, when you're greeting each other at the door, ask each other, "How did you share Christ this week?" That's an okay thing to ask. It's a good thing to ask. Pequot Lakes, I am confident that if you start asking that to each other, you guys are just going to go start sharing Christ because you'll be too embarrassed to say, "Well, I didn't." Start asking that of each other. "How did you share Christ this week?" And see the growth of the corporate proclamation of Christ. Continues in 2 Timothy. Says, "Which now has been manifest through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Now, as I was studying this text, I was struck by the fact that Paul takes a moment to pause and remind Timothy of what has been accomplished by Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This reminder of what we look forward to. Real relationship. Jesus walking side by side with me. Me being able to ask all of the silly questions I had as a kid about the Bible directly to Jesus. It's what we look forward to. And yet so often when we talk about proclaiming Christ, we get drawn away by the fact that, well, Micah, we're actually really busy people. We have things on our plate. I don't really have an opportunity to share the gospel because I am so busy working. I'm so busy not working if you're retired. I'm so busy doing something. Paul pauses here to remind Timothy that nothing is worth doing if we don't have the real end in sight. Working for retirement and not understanding that soon after or before, you will be in the presence of the Most High for all eternity. If you don't understand that, you've missed the magnitude of the gospel. Timothy, Paul says, remember what Christ has accomplished. Aside from you, what he has accomplished. Pequot Lakes, remember what Christ has accomplished. And that will make all other things that seem so very important and all of the stressful things that are pulling at our hair fade away to become less than the truth that Christ died for our sins, rose again, and is coming again. Our busyness pales in comparison. We should be proclaiming Christ tirelessly in all that we do, in every conversation that we have. We should be declaring Christ tirelessly. Constantly. I came up with three C's. Sorry, because, you know, Baptist pastor. So we have corporately and now constantly. This is how we should be proclaiming Christ. In Luke, going back to Luke 6. This is the Sermon on the Plains, or the Sermon on the Mounts, as another gospel account gives it. Probably the most well-known sermon in all of history. This is the beginning of it. In these days, he, Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but I like my sleep at night. I go down, and I go, and if I don't get about 9 hours, then I'm a grumpy person the next day. Jesus, on the other hand, prayed all night. So in my mind, the next verse should say, and then he napped because he was tired. But that's not what it says. When day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. We have the choosing of the 12 disciples on a night of no sleep. What was Jesus thinking? We should be of like mind. In all that we do, we should be seeking the Lord's will, praying constantly. And if we're praying constantly, that means we have a real relationship with Christ, and the outflow of that is going to be the proclamation of Christ to others. That is a wonderful picture. Imagine every conversation. My sister Serenity is a skilled artist at this. Every conversation she has somehow turns, cycles, circles to Christ. Constantly proclaiming Christ. Why? Because we're not so worried about retirement. Because we're not so worried about where our next paycheck will come from. Because we're not so worried about whether, you know, we'll get through this week. Because of what Christ has accomplished. Defeating death and giving us real life in him. That is a blessing. To live a life truly proclaiming Christ constantly. Moving on, verse 11 and 12. For which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. That last little snippet. Guard until the day what has been entrusted to me. Church, hear me well. None of you can accomplish your own salvation. None of you can do enough good to be seen as good in God's eyes. And so Christ, who accomplished it all on the cross, guards for us our salvation. In our proclamation of Christ, we don't say, hey, neighbor, have you seen just how good of a person I am? I'm just a really good person, and you should try to copy me. Because if you copy me, you'll go to heaven. That is not proclaiming Christ. That's proclaiming us. So, when we proclaim Christ, we proclaim confidently that He is the one who has saved us, and He is the one who has the opportunity, the capacity, the capability to save our neighbors. Only Christ, Christ crucified. Not you and your early morning Sundays coming to church. That saves nobody. It is in obedience to God. Don't hear me. I'm not saying you can miss next week, okay? That's not what I'm saying. It is obedient to come to church. But it is not your salvation. Rather, Christ is. And what a beautiful thing that is. Because if it was on me, I know where I'm going. But it's not. It is on the work of Him who saved us. And so that means we get to proclaim Christ confidently. Because if it wasn't on the work of Him who guards what has been entrusted to us, I wouldn't be up here. None of us would be here. We would be wasting our time. Paul says it elsewhere. If the cross is foolishness, pity me first and foremost, because I'm an idiot. If the cross is not reality, the truest reality there is, the only truth we live within, then we don't comprehend the magnitude of the gospel. If that's not real, don't come to church next week. But it is. Paul says so. Christ did the work. It is true. And so come next week, and before you come, proclaim Christ to others. Don't view this as a one-a-week job. View it as your entire life. And again, as an encouragement, you guys have done such a good job of that. This building, the Trailside Center, I think it's called, is an example of that. You said, how can we proclaim Christ well to the people of Pequot Lakes? Well, we can make sure that we're not just open on Sundays. That is a huge deal. And I want to commend each of you for that. COVID, I know, has changed things up, but I am confident that even in COVID, you guys are proclaiming Christ confidently. I want to pause here for just a second. Paul has walked through Timothy three things. Begin with the understanding that we have the opportunity to proclaim Christ. And when you do so constantly. Oh, I said constantly twice. The first one should say corporately or congregationally as a church. Apologies. Do so constantly in everything that you do. Do so confidently. Not in your own ability. Coming up here, every single time I stand behind a pulpit, I shake a little. I'm terrified. I've told friends, other pastoral friends, the first time I'm not terrified of handling God's word is the last time I will preach. We should be a little scared because we're dealing with people's souls. We're dealing with the good news. But even in our nervousness, we can be confident in the truth of the gospel. The truth that Christ did indeed come to save us. Now the last two verses, 13 and 14 of this passage, say, follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. I'm not certain. I don't know all of you. So I don't know where your faith walk is. I don't know if you all are believers. But Paul closes out this passage with a really good reminder that we have been given a gift. And if you have not yet received that gift, why not? If you have not yet decided to follow Jesus, to give your whole life to Jesus, I would invite you to do so today so that you can join the church in proclaiming Christ, so that you can join the church in worshiping Him. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Jesus says, I stand at the door knocking. I want to give you this gift. But you still have to open the door. You still have to declare with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. I can't do that for you. The church can't do that for you. Nobody but you can do that. Only you receiving Christ. And for those of you who I know are believers, I hope you are challenged this morning. I hope you have gone, there's a Matthew in my life from my college story. There's a Matthew in my life who I have been sitting next to at work. He has no clue I'm a Christian. How can I better declare Christ faithfully? Guard the good deposit. Challenge each of you. Find that person you have not confidently proclaimed Christ to and begin so today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Micah, I work with him. I won't see him until tomorrow. Write him an email. Micah, that's weird. Text him. Micah, that's weirder. Stop giving me excuses. Proclaim Christ confidently. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to study Scripture together. I thank you that we have the blessing of your word to know you more fully. I pray for the congregation of Pequot Lakes. Lord, I pray that you will continue to lead them, continue to bless them, continue to allow them to declare Christ, proclaiming Christ and Christ alone. Lord, I pray for those who are here today who may not have ever heard of the good news of the gospel, of the confidence that we hold in the gospel. I pray, Lord, that you will work on their hearts. I pray that you will have been working on their hearts. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who desires to receive you, desires to begin a real relationship with the Creator of all this morning, Lord, I pray that you will, with them, work through what needs to be done. And if there is anyone of that sort in the audience today, I'd invite you just to raise your hand real quick. I'd love to come talk to you afterwards. It's not going to be awkward. Pastor Mike's not going to run through the seats to get to you. But I'd love to talk to you this morning. Lord, you know our hearts. For those of you who are believers, who may have been believers since you were 5, if you've been challenged by this, I would invite you to raise your hands so I can pray for you as you begin to proclaim Christ confidently. Okay, I see a couple. I'd love to talk to you afterwards just to hear the name of the person you're thinking of so I can pray with you. Lord, you are good. You have given us the opportunity, not by us, not by our specialness, but yet by your grace. May we be a church that believes that fully and lives that out in all that we do. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us.